So, hello everybody. I'm going to start with a question for you guys. So this is an ad I got in a Gmail account, and it's about a hotel. What do you think it's targeting? Can you guess? So I bet you won't get it right. It's actually targeting an homosexuality-related keyword among the emails in the account's inbox. So how about this one? It's just a big clothing brand. What do you think it targets? Not quite. It's targeting pregnancy-related emails. So this is pretty obscure targeting, right? And none of us could get this right. So basically, we don't know how our data is being used. And that's not just ad targeting we don't understand. For example, did you know that data brokers can tell when you're sick or depressed and sell this information? Or that Google App for Education used to use the education emails to target ads in your private accounts? Or that some credit companies are trying to use your Facebook friends to decide if they should give you a loan or not? Well, maybe you knew all these things. You probably read the news just like I do, but do you know when it happens to you? I bet it's not always the case. So, welcome to this new big data world. More and more, services collect huge amounts of information about us. Every click, every location, every site we visit, and they leverage that information for all sorts of purposes that without our knowledge or our control. Well, don't get me wrong, big data has a lot of great uses. For instance, we get great recommendations to discover new things. It even has great potential for the broader society, for instance, to predict disease outbreaks or improve disaster response. But big data also brings enormous challenges, chief among them being that we have no visibility into how our data is being used. So what happened to the data? Are the uses of the data good for us or not? Is the data shared? And if it is, who has it? And can we delete our data? And this obscurity threatens to turn this exciting big data world into an opaque environment full of data misuse. And unfortunately, no robust tools exist to track this ever-changing big data world. And even auditors and watchdogs have troubles to give answers about data uses. So at Columbia, we've been posing this research question. Can we build a generic tool to reveal personal data use on the internet? For example, for an ad, could we say which emails are responsible for it showing up? Or could we say which prior searches triggers the prices you see online? Or can we say if Facebook shares our data, and if it does, what third parties do with it? And more importantly, could we design a tool that could be easily applied to all those questions? So in controlled environments, such as an operating system or a corporate network, we have taint tracking to do that, and it works pretty well. So the question is, can we do the same in the uncontrolled environment that is the open internet? So today, I'll tell you about X-Ray, which is the first generic tool to track data use on the web. And it reveals which inputs, like an email or a search, is being used to produce which outputs, like an ad or prices. And X-Ray is accurate, scalable, and very generic. So we have it running on three different web services, which are Gmail, YouTube, and Amazon. But more importantly, we think X-Ray provides the key building blocks, both theoretical and practical, for tracking data use on the internet. Let me give you some of the details. So we designed X-Ray with several goals in mind. It has to make fine-grained predictions, for example, at the email level. It has to be scalable and to be widely applicable to many different web services. So for instance, we don't want any manual parameter tuning when we add new services. And in order to reach these goals, we model the web services as a black box. So the web is very complicated, and we don't want to know for every service what it does or how it does it. We don't want to reverse engineer the targeting mechanisms. And the key insight to be able to do that is to track data through correlation between the inputs and the observed outputs. And this is exactly what X-Ray does. So it monitors a bunch of the inputs that go into the service and a bunch of the outputs, and it correlates them. So there may be more inputs that we don't track, and we won't be able to detect targeting on this. And we call this mechanism differential correlation. And to do this differential correlation, we first create a bunch of extra accounts that we call shadow accounts, and we populate them with a subset of the input we want to track. So intuitively, by doing that, we vary the inputs we put in the black box. And then we use the outputs from the shadow accounts to relate inputs and outputs. So let me give you an example. Let's assume we have this main account with three pieces of data, D1 to D3, and it sees an output O1, for instance, an ad. And we have those three shadow accounts, and when D2 is in the shadow account, we also see the same output O1, but when D2 is not there, we don't see it. Well, from that, we can deduce that probably D2 is responsible for O1 showing up. But it sounds like a lot of extra accounts, right? If we need to test each combination, it's even an exponential relation. So it doesn't scale. Well, actually, it turns out that there is an algorithm that can achieve this thing with a lot fewer extra accounts. And in fact, a logarithmic number of accounts under some assumptions. And we prove this both theoretically and experimentally, as I'll show you later. And we designed two algorithms, one that we prove theoretically has this property, and a second one that is more robust and that we validated experimentally, and this is the one we integrated in X-Ray. So let me start with the theoretical algorithm. So this is the algorithm for which we can prove the logarithmic dependency in the number of extra accounts, and it is based on set intersection, and it's very similar to the example I gave you before. So first, we randomly assign the input we want to track in the shadow accounts. And then, to explain an output, we select the sets of emails that are in the accounts where we see this output we want to explain, and we compute the intersection of those sets. And if the intersection is not empty, this is our targeted set. And if the intersection is empty, then we deduce there's no targeting. So we can prove that this algorithm needs only a logarithmic number of extra accounts to have a high probability of detecting the associations. And in this example, it was detecting only one targeted email, but it also works for combinations of email, and it's still logarithmic. But the problem is that this algorithm is not super practical. So first, for an ad to be detected, it needs to never appear in an account where we don't have the targeted input. And unfortunately, in the real web services, it does happen because you can have inputs on overlapping topics or some caching that are going on and many other reasons. And to fix this, we need to add a threshold that we have to manually tune, which is what we wanted to avoid. And second, it doesn't deal really well with low signal, and we have to add another manual threshold. So how can we address these limitations? Well, we built this much more robust algorithm based on a Bayesian method that doesn't need such parameter tuning and that we incorporated in X-Ray. And this is how it works. So there's a lot of notations I didn't define yet, but I'll walk you through the algorithm. So it's a simple Bayesian model that takes the observations we make into the shadow accounts as inputs. And to explain an output, so the targeting of an ad, for instance, we compute for each input, for instance, for every email, the probability that what we observed happened. So for that, we define two probabilities, P in the probability that we see an ad in an account when we have the targeted email, and P out, which is the probability that we see the ad in an account even though we don't have the targeted email in the inbox. And from that, the probability of the observations knowing a specific targeting, for instance, email I is targeted by the output, is P in to the power of the number of accounts where we have the email and we see the ad, times 1 minus P in to the power of the number of accounts where we have the email but we don't see the ad, and the symmetric for P out. And from there, we just use Bayes' rule to inverse the probability and compute the probability of the targeting knowing the observations we observed. So at this point, if the ad is targeting to one of the email in our inbox, we can tell which one by returning the highest probability. But some ads are not targeted against anything in our inbox. So remember, we don't track all the inputs, so it can also be targeted on an input we're not tracking. So what can we do about that? Well, what we can do is take non-targeting into account is to introduce a fake input that we call the void input, which is a virtual input that models the fact of non-targeting. And we use the same steps to compute its probability. And then we can return the highest probability, but this time taking non-targeting into account. And there are many other challenges that we need to solve to make the algorithm practical and robust, and we give more details in the paper. And with the final algorithm, we can do automatic self-tuning with an iterative inference scheme to learn the parameters, so no manual tuning is required. And we also handle input overlap and different kinds of targeting. And this is how we put everything together. So I won't go into the details, but the two main pieces are shadow account managers, which is service specific and manages the extra accounts we need, and the correlation engine, which is the brain of X-Ray and incorporates the algorithms. And this one is service agnostic and can be readily applied to different services. So for instance, we built our prototype for Gmail to associate ads with the email they're targeting. And we could then apply it to YouTube video recommendations and Amazon product recommendations without a single line of code to change to the correlation engine. So let's evaluate how well X-Ray does on these three services that we support. So I'm going to focus on three questions among those we asked. So how accurate is X-Ray? How does it scale? And is X-Ray useful in the study of real web services? So first, to measure X-Ray's accuracy, we needed some ground truth for the associations. And fortunately, both Amazon and YouTube provide such a ground truth. So for instance, on Amazon, when you see a recommendation, you can click a link, why this recommendation, and they give you a fine-grained explanation. And Gmail doesn't give such a fine-grained explanation, so we had to manually label the associations. So the question is, how accurate is X-Ray? So here are two graphs for recall and precision that we use to measure how well X-Ray does. And this is with 16 inputs, so 16 emails or 16 video that we have on YouTube. And we can make two observations for these graphs. So first, they look really similar with a steep curve at the beginning and then a plateau. And second, we need only a few extra accounts to reach 80% to 90% of recall and precision on all three services. So for example, on Gmail, we need 15 accounts to reach 85% of recall and precision. So the question is how we increase, when we increase this the number of inputs that we want to track, how does the number of accounts we need to reach high accuracy evolve? And as I've told you, the theory predicts that we should need only a logarithmic number of accounts, and this is what we verify experimentally. So on this graph, you can see the number of accounts that we need to reach high accuracy depending on the number of inputs. and the number of inputs is in log scale, so the linear shape means that we do have our logarithmic dependency. So for instance, on Gmail, when we double the number of inputs, we need plus three shadow accounts. Okay, so now that we saw that X-ray is accurate and scales pretty well, we need to evaluate if it is useful as a tool. And to do that, we collected Gmail ads that target emails about sensitive topics like various diseases or pregnancy or death, and we analyzed the strong associations detected by X-ray. And here are some of the ads that we X-rayed. And the examples that I showed you at the beginning of the talk actually come from this data. So some of the targeting is pretty obvious, as you've probably already seen in your own inbox before. So for instance, if you have pregnancy-related emails in your inbox, you can see some baby shower invitations ads. But other targetings are much more obscure and targeting sensitive topics. So you already saw this hotel ad that targets homosexuality-related emails. And we also have, for instance, a shamanic healing over the phone ad that targets depression. Or there's one that's not in red, but it's a text couch to get the girl you want and desire, targeting depression. And we have many examples that we found. And some targeting were just unsettling to see. So emails that suggest a person might have financial difficulties, for instance, with the keywords like debt or borrow or loan, were targeted by ads for easy car loans without backing or without credit history. And in fact, it turns out that there is currently a subprime loan bubble for used cars, and it has been recently documented by the New York Times. And look, we've been able to see a projection of this economic trend within the ad market thanks to X-ray, which is pretty cool. So today we have a problem. The big data web is like a big black box, and we need robust tools to reveal data use and provide the necessary checks and balances for the web. So we built X-ray, the first tool to reveal data use on the web. And it is accurate and readily applicable to many services. And we have it working on Gmail, YouTube, and Amazon. And we hope that its generic building blocks, like the algorithms I told you about, will be used to create a new ecosystem of transparency tools that will empower investigators and watchdogs. So in support of such tools, we are releasing our code on GitHub. And we're also making an X-ray service available with the data we collected. Thank you, and I'll now take questions.
Thanks for a great talk. Please use the mic and state your name and affiliation for your question.
Hi, my name is Indranil Banerjee. I'm from Qualcomm. Thank you for a very interesting talk. I was wondering, what's the next step for users? What can they do armed with this information that, hey, my emails about debt and loan are being targeted by Google?
So that's a really good question. So I think, so first, maybe we don't really know yet because we never had this information before. And the goal I think we would really like to reach is to have voluntary transparency from the services so that they tell the user beforehand the information that's being used. So for instance, some of these ads that have really obscure targeting, if you were to click on them and authenticate on the advertiser's website, you could leak the information of the targeting without even realizing that. So I think just giving the information is a really good first step. And then when people are more aware, maybe it can change behavior or make some pressure for more transparency or better behaviors.
Hi, Adrian. So there's a cool paper at Soups last year that looked at people's discomfort with targeted advertising. And a common complaint was that people were worried that someone standing over their shoulder was going to see an ad and infer some connection between that ad and their past history.
Yeah.
So for example, you see, you know, an advertisement, first glance at the clad woman, and they think, oh, I know what you've been doing on your computer recently. So does making the connection more explicit increase this concern?
That's a good question. So maybe if you make the information like readily available next to the ad, it can make things even worse. But on the other hand, if you don't know about that, there's no way anything is going to change. So I think it's still valuable to give the information. And yeah, maybe the hope is that people find it creepy enough so that they can pressure services to be more transparent and less invasive, maybe.
David Freeman from LinkedIn. Does your system allow you to pull out time series features using ad targeting, like the rate of emails sent or number of clicks, so that sort of thing?
That's a great question. So we didn't study that a lot yet, but that's definitely on our roadmap, and it can be supported by the tool, so we can take multiple snapshots at different times and see how it evolves. And there's a lot of interesting questions, like if you delete emails, what happens after you send an email? How fast does your profile take it into account? Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can get from that.
Ted Book from Rice. It seems that ads could be targeted on lots of factors. They could be based on a single keyword. They could be based on various keywords used over time, geolocation, even things like the length of sentences in an email, say. Do you think it's possible to use your tool to search for causes beyond just a single keyword and find more complicated relationships if they're present?
For instance, I think it's possible. It's not possible to detect any kind of data that is used, so we need to be able to vary it, like have some kind of control on the input. But if we do, I think there's many interesting things that we can try to investigate. So for instance, there's more and more talk about like data sharing between different services. And because we use this black box approach, in theory, it should be possible to see if the output of one service correlates with the inputs of another service. So that's an example of some kind of more complicated targeting that we would like to investigate.
Thank you.
Sebastian Zemek of Columbia University. First of all, congratulations, great
Thanks.
Work. And secondly, I want to ask, do you plan to extend your work across different services? So most ad networks, for example, target users across websites. Mm-hmm. Would that be possible?
So I definitely think that's possible. We actually started to try to do that, and we didn't try enough yet to have conclusive results. But I think it can be supported by the tool, and it's definitely a really interesting next step.
Thanks.